In this bulletin, Indigenous Australian artefacts repatriated to traditional owners in a ceremony in Cambridge. And the federal government supports a New South Wales review into domestic violence laws. There was an emotional moment for those campaigning for the return of Indigenous Australian artefacts held in museums around the world. It's more than 250 years since Captain James Cook and his crew arrived at Botany Bay. At the time, they took spears from the local First Nations people and they've been in a museum at Trinity College, Cambridge since 1771. Known as the Gooigal Spears, they have been finally repatriated to their traditional owners in a ceremony in Cambridge. Nolene Timbury from the La Perouse Local Aboriginal Land Council says the spears are survivors from a moment in time. She says they are part of the shared history of our country.
We're really happy that they're finally coming home. They were created, they were made before European arrival. So our ancestors made these before they had any sense that anything was coming. They're tools, they were made for a purpose. They weren't made to be sitting in a museum.
With the formal handover now complete, the spears will be returned to Australia in the coming weeks. The coronial inquiry into the deaths of two Indigenous teenagers has found there were serious failings by police during the initial investigation. The bodies of Mona Lisa Smith and Jacinta Rose Cindy Smith were found at the site of a car crash between Bourke and Ingonia in outback New South Wales, more than 36 years ago on December 6, 1987. A white man, Alexander Grant, was also in the car at the time, but escaped with minor injuries. State Coroner Teresa O'Sullivan says in the days that followed, police conducted a wholly and inexplicably deficient investigation that failed to lay any charges. She also found that racism was a significant factor in the failings of the initial police investigation, concluding that had two white teenagers died in the same manner as Indigenous cousins, the police would likely have conducted a far more competent and thorough investigation. A senior Victorian minister has been quizzed about the government's plans to include traditional landowners in the billions of dollars made from the state's mining efforts. The Yuruk Justice Commission heard the total value of gold extracted since colonisation in Victoria in today's terms is $287.4 billion. Environment Minister Lily D'Ambrosio told the Commission that very little of mining revenue royalties has been given to Aboriginal groups. Experts are calling for measures to protect the future of the Murray-Darling Basin. Data shows the basin has warmed by 1 degree Celsius since 1910, running a risk of reduced average runoff in the coming decades. A series of online discussions featuring Australia's leading water experts has revealed the need to prepare for the impacts of climate change in the basin. CEO of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority, Philip Glyde, says some of those effects have already been observed.
It's very clear that what we've seen in the Murray-Darling Basin during the past 20 years defies the long-term historical record, the over 100 years of records that we have. The climate is changing. High temperatures, heat waves, drought and less rainfall means a reduction of soil moisture content, a shortage of runoff into wetlands and rivers, and ultimately less water to be shared.
The federal government and opposition say more needs to be done to address a violence against women crisis in Australia. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has launched a review into domestic violence and bail laws after 28-year-old Molly Ticehurst from Forbes became the 25th woman to die from gender-based violence in 2024. Police have charged 29-year-old Daniel Billings with her alleged murder. He was on bail at the time following multiple charges for the alleged raping, stalking and intimidating of Molly Ticehurst. Bipartisan efforts across federal, state and territory government have sought to address domestic violence, including the National Plan to Eliminate Violence Against Women and Children. Liberal Senator Jane Hume has called for greater use of practical approaches to prevent re-offending or first offences. Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill has told Channel 7 legalisation and funding is not enough.
Laws and money is not all that needs to change here. One thing that I'm starting to see a little bit more of is that conversation starting amongst men. You know, this is not a women's issue that we can fixed by fixing women. It's men and their behaviour that has to change here, and we need men to be stepping up, having those conversations with their friends about this matter and trying to talk about how we can change society for the better, because we just can't go on like this.
The French construction worker who fended off the attacker behind the Westfield Bondi stabbing says the past week and a half has been a blur and has taken time to process everything that has happened. CCTV footage shows Damien Garreau confronting Joel Couchy on an escalator using a bollard in the shopping centre. The actor seen him dubbed Bollard Man and now granted permanent residency. He told SBS French it is hard to pinpoint what compelled him to fend off the attacker when others were running away.
I was looking for the right opportunity to throw the bollard at him, but it was difficult with a moving escalator. At the same time, I was really staring at him in the eyes to show him we intended to stop him, that we too were determined in order to get him to walk back by scaring him with that bollard. When I looked at him, he appeared to be in his own bubble, like if he were in a video game. He wasn't really walking or running. It was really strange, like if he were on a mission.
Hundreds gathered yesterday at Sydney's Botanic Gardens to honour one of six people killed in the Bondi stabbing attack. 47-year-old architect Jade Young has been remembered as dearly loved and irreplaceable mother of two. Jade Young's mother, Elizabeth, told those gathered at the memorial that she is angry and exhausted, although she thanked well wishers from around Australia for their condolences. Earlier in the day, a group of 100 paddleboarders and surfers gathered at Bondi Beach, forming a heart in the ocean to honour those killed in the Bondi stabbing attack. Participant Brenda Miley says it has been healing to come together in solidarity and mateship.
With the Bondi community, you know, we're connected by the ocean, so it was really powerful to paddle out and be part of the paddle out to, you know, recognise people who lost their lives in this terrible event. We were, honouring people who'd lost their lives and the people who'd been heroes, and we were connected as a community of ocean-loving people.
And in football, long-serving Matildas goalkeeper Lydia Williams says preparations are going well for the Paris Olympics. The proud Noongar woman has competed in 2 Olympic Games and 5 World Cups. She says team spirits are still high after last year's World Cup, with the team almost back to full strength. She told Living Black the nerves still creep in before the global competition.
I definitely still get nervous. I think that's a good thing. It shows me to myself that I still care and I really enjoy playing. We don't want to leave wherever we go without anything to show. And I think everyone's at that age where the next phase, we might be too old for it. So, yeah, there'll be this hunger and desire like probably nothing else, I think.
And now for a look at today's weather. Broome, sunny 34. Perth, mostly sunny 22. Adelaide, cloudy 18. Melbourne, a shower or two easing 16. Hobart, an early shower or two 16. Albury-Wodonga, mostly sunny 20. Canberra, mostly sunny 21. Wollongong, similar conditions 24. Sydney, mostly sunny 27. Newcastle, a possible late shower 27. Brisbane, mostly sunny 27. Townsville, also mostly sunny 31. Cairns, a shower or two 29. Alice Springs, partly cloudy 26. Darwin, a shower or two 33. And the Torres Strait Islands, partly cloudy 32. And that is NITV Radio News.